It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today has been an American front office executive for Major League Baseball for over 30 years. Frank Wren has a long history in the front office in Major League Baseball. In fact, he played professional baseball, too, in the Montreal Expos organization. I'll talk with Frank about his long and distinguished career and where he sets his foundation in his everyday life. Frank, it's so great to have you on Blessed to Play.
Well, I appreciate it. It's good to be with you.
Well, I know we spent some time, we had dinner, and I was really impressed about your long history in Major League Baseball. You pretty much have seen it all, and you worked your way up into the front office. But let's start about your love for baseball. I believe you grew up in Florida, and that's where you developed a talent for the game. But talk about your passion early on for the game of baseball.
Well, it's really kind of interesting because at a younger age, my family was in the Cincinnati area, and we had a dairy farm, and with being on a farm and all that required, I didn't play a lot of baseball. I played more basketball. Mm-hmm. And when I was 14 years old, we moved to Florida, and it was kind of a natural progression. All my friends were playing. We played basketball when I moved down there, and right after basketball, they started playing baseball and said, you ought to come play with us. And I really had no experience, and kind of took to it right away and loved it. And you know, fast forward a few years, I got drafted by the New York Yankees out of high school. Didn't sign, went to college for a year, and then I signed with the Montreal Expos.
Yeah, so you attended St. Petersburg Junior College, and then, as you mentioned, you signed with the Expos. And here you go, your journey begins. You went up to AA, the Memphis Chicks, and like I'm sure all lower-level professional baseball players, you want to make it to the big leagues, but that never came to fruition. So you make this transition into coaching and then to the front office. Talk about how you knew that you were going to get into that and where you are today. You really paved your road.
Well, I really never dreamed of being in the front office. That was never a life goal. Never even, you know, honestly, I never thought it was a possibility. I just saw myself playing. And then I had a brain tumor. In 1981, I had surgery to remove a brain tumor, a benign tumor. And going through that, I came back. Missed a year and a half. When I came back and tried to play in 82, I just wasn't the same player. And halfway through that season, I was given the opportunity to start coaching with the Expos. And Bob Gebhardt, who was longtime general manager of the Colorado Rockies, at that time he was our field coordinator and farm director with the Montreal Expos, offered me the job. And I felt like it was the right time. So I started coaching. So I coached the next 4 years with Montreal. And then just kind of out of a fluke, the opportunities I thought were going to come for me on the field to manage in the minor leagues, the Expos had different plans, and I would say God had different plans, because next thing I know, I'm being offered a job in the front office. And I kind of went kicking and screaming at the time because I wanted to stay in uniform, but it's worked out very well.
Yeah. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting today with Frank Wren. He's currently the Senior Vice President of player personnel for the Boston Red Sox. Well, Frank, this might have been your big break. It's with the Florida Marlins, and in September of 1991, your boss, then Expos GM Dave Dombrowski, accepted the position of GM of the Florida Marlins, and that was a National League expansion franchise at the time, at which you followed Dombrowski to the Marlins as the club assistant GM. And what a ride there in Florida Marlins. I believe Wayne Huizenga owned the club. World championship, and then you sold a lot of players. But talk about that experience working in the front office of a big league club.
Well, I think, you know, my first introduction into the front office with Montreal, I was in scouting and player and assistant scouting director, and then I was promoted to director of international scouting, and I really enjoyed that end of it, acquiring players. And then all of a sudden, David come to us a couple years into my term in the front office. Dave Dombrowski had come over from the White Sox to run the player development initially with Expos, and very shortly thereafter became general manager. And he and I were contemporary, we were the same, nearly the same age. We spent a lot of time together. And when the expansion Marlins came to be, he was one of the guys that was highly sought after to start that franchise. And I think if you talk to anybody in baseball, Ron, it's one of those special moments to be able to start a franchise from scratch and literally put the foundation down. And so when Dave was named GM, he gave me the opportunity to come as the assistant GM, and it was a really special time for us. And, you know, it culminated 5 years later with a world championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember it well. And then, Frank, moving right along here. So you're in Florida, assistant GM, and then you get your own gig, so to speak, the Baltimore Orioles. Pat Gillick resigned, in fact, as GM of the Orioles at the close of the 1998 season. And Frank, you're named his replacement. Talk about that. That must have been an exciting time in your life to now be a GM on your own for an American League club in Baltimore.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the Baltimore Orioles are a very special franchise. And over the years, I had started to become a guy that was getting interviews for GM jobs and had interviewed in three or four places in this couple of years leading up to that, and finally getting that job. And, you know, it came with some obvious difficulties. They were club that had been really good and had started to decline a little bit, and so it was going to be a challenge. But it was one of those situations. I remember Pat Gillick telling me, he said, you know, it may not be the perfect job for you, but it's, you know, you need to take it and see what happens. And it was difficult. It was a difficult year. I think myself and Mr. Angelos were like oil and water, and it made it a very difficult year.
Well, you talk about the difficulties of being a GM for what was a losing ball club, but then you move right to Atlanta, where it has a great track record, a championship team, a wonderful front office, of course, with John Schuerholz. And you're there, and you held that position for 8 seasons. And, you know, with the Atlanta ball club, you were pretty solidified in Atlanta and really came into your own at that point. Talk about your time at Atlanta and eventually becoming the GM as well.
Well, I remember the day I got fired as the Baltimore GM, and quite frankly, it was probably a relief. I'm driving home, and I got a call from the Atlanta Braves while I'm driving home telling me they wanted me to come to Atlanta. And so I flew to Atlanta a couple of days later and talked to John Schuerholz and Stan Kasten, and they offered me the job to be the assistant GM there. And it was just a great environment. When you look at the number of Hall of Famers that I had a chance to watch on a daily basis and associate with and be with, and it was a special time and a special, you know, it was one of the obvious best franchises in professional sports. And so I had a chance to do that for 7 years and then became general manager in the fall of 2007, when we had kind of gone through a down spell. We last made the playoffs in 2005, and so it was a process of trying to rebuild, and we got it back to. And Bobby Cox was going to retire in 2010, and we were able to get back to the playoffs in 2010 in his last year. And there were some highs and lows. 2011, we had a 10-game lead for the playoffs with about 4 weeks to go, and we collapsed and did not make the playoffs. That's probably the low point. Then we started again building back, and we had a good core of young players and young pitchers. And in 2013, we won the division. So, you know, I would say that you learn a lot. You learn a lot about building a club and how you construct a club, and you learn a lot about people and dealing with people. And it's been a great experience. But I still make my home in Atlanta. We love Atlanta. We think it's a great place to live, and our kids were raised here. And so it's been a special place for us.
Yeah, great time for you. Blessed to play, Ron Meyer, chatting once again with Frank Wren, currently the Senior Vice President of Player Personnel for the Boston Red Sox. Now, Frank, we're living in a world where fantasy baseball is, a lot of people are doing it, let's put it that way, and there's businesses making a lot of money off of it, and everyone wants to play the GM. Did you have a philosophy that you developed over the years, or what did you, what became part of your DNA to make you a successful general manager?
Well, I would say, I put it very briefly, and I think it really was formulated in my time in Atlanta, is if you can pitch, you can win. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got to be able, that's where it all begins. If you can pitch, you can compete, and then you can figure out the offense. And, you know, we're very fortunate in Boston. We do both. We have a great offensive ball club. We can also pitch. But I think in Atlanta, you know, we were built with strong young pitching, and we had the Hall of Famers in Smoltz and Glavine and Maddox, who really carried us through the 90s and the early 2000s. But that's my feeling. And I would say the second part of that from my time in Montreal is great athletes can turn into great players. They don't always, but that was kind of our philosophy in drafting in Montreal. We went after the great athletes, whether they were multi-sport athletes or just people that could do a lot of things on a baseball field. Because you know, if you can, the other part of that, if you have really good pitching, you want to be able to defend. And speed and defense is a nice complement to that pitching.
Now, in your position as senior vice president of player personnel for the Red Sox, I know talent is key here, but how much does character and the player's makeup play a decision in you wanting to sign them and ultimately making part of your organization?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. Unfortunately, it's one of the most difficult parts of the job is to ascertain what a player's true makeup is. Because, you know, let's face it, when we go into, if a player's on our radar at the high school or college level, and I don't do high school or college scouting anymore, but if they are, you know, if they're on our radar, they're probably performing at a pretty high level and they're having success. We're not seeing that same kid face adversity. So what happens when they start to struggle? And typically we will see that in the first couple of years in the minor leagues because, you know, it's a tough transition, and we'll see how they handle that adversity, and we'll find out a lot more about their makeup. And then when they get to the big leagues, I scout the National League, and so, you know, you're always picking the brains of coaches and managers and folks with clubs just to find out what kind of people they are and what makes them tick. And you know, you want to surround yourself and put on your club quality people.
So what has been the key highlight of your time as a general manager, or assistant general manager with these, with either Montreal, Florida at the time, Baltimore, Atlanta, and or the Red Sox? Has there been one thing that sticks out for you as the key moment in your career?
Well, I would say winning the World Championship in 1997 with the Marlins. I mean, that has to stand out. That's one of those special times you go through something with people. And when, you know, what's amazing, I think, is kind of goes under reported is when you go through a playoff, so a month long playoffs, you're trying to win 11 games. It takes 11 playoff wins to win a world championship. Mm-hmm. You get very close to that whole travel party because you're all focused on trying to win the championship and try to get to the next round. That whether it's the players, the coaches, the staff, the wives, they all become very close, and you have kind of a permanent group of people that went through something that no one else will go through again. So it was a very special time.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, I'll talk with Frank Wren, Senior Vice President of Player Personnel for the Boston Red Sox, about faith, adversity, overcoming it, community. We'll talk it more with this Major League Baseball veteran when Blessed to Play returns after this.
How about this? Apple TV allows you to instantly stream EWTN to your TV. Get EWTN today. It's easy. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Apple TV player.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Frank Wren. And what a distinguished career he has had in Major League Baseball. Over 30 years as a front office executive. He played the game at a high level, too. Played in the Expos organization. In fact, he has two sons who are playing professional baseball. We'll talk more about that. But in the first half of the show, we talked about Frank's career. But a lot of times we don't get to know who the man is who has this distinguished career, and faith is certainly a large part, I would say, of Frank's life. Frank, has this always been the case?
It has. I grew up in a Christian home, and my, you know, I have I've come from a long line of great grandfather was a pastor. My grandfather sang in a musical group. Back then they called them quartets, and they would go to different churches. And my dad's brother's a pastor. So I grew up in a Christian family where it was very important.
So our faith should influence us in our daily lives, and being in a GM and you're trying to get the edge on all these clubs, and I'm sure ethics does play a part to some degree in what you do and the decisions you make. Does your faith guide you in that manner?
You know, Ron, I feel like it's guided me in every decision I've ever made. I mean, I put a lot of weight in what's right and doing the right thing, and throughout, I'm not going to lie to somebody to get a deal done. I'm not going to be dishonest about it. If telling the truth and being the right kind of person is going to cause me to lose a deal, then so be it. I'll lose the deal. So I've always felt that way. That's just the way I was brought up.
Now, having been around a lot of Major League Baseball players and organizations, I see that faith is a large part of not everyone's life, but there are many players and people in the front office and coaches like yourself who turn to faith on a daily basis. I know there's the Mass, there's Baseball Chapel. They have all these different avenues so players and coaches can strengthen their spirituality. Have you benefited from that as well?
No question. I think when I was a young player, Baseball Chapel was really in its infancy. And Watson Spolstra was the guy that was running Baseball Chapel back in those days, and it was a very big part of my life, because you're traveling and you're not exposed, you're not able to go to church very often. I tell this story. Growing up, Dr. Stanley was on his broadcast was on for years, and I would watch that when I was on the road as a young player, and every once in a while his son would fill in for him, Andy Stanley, and I really gravitated to Andy because I really liked the way he taught, liked the way he presented the message. And here you fast forward 40 years and now I go to an Andy Stanley church and have got the chance to meet Andy and know him, and still love the way he presents the Bible and the way he presents the teaching and makes it so understandable for everyone. So we're a satellite church south of Atlanta that is part of the North Point Ministries.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting once again with Frank Wren, currently the Senior Vice President of Player Personnel for the Boston Red Sox. Now, Frank, you have dealt with a lot of players, young players coming up, drafting them, watching them come up. Can you see in a player when they come from a so-called faith-based family, how they present themselves, how they talk? Is that pretty apparent to you?
Most of the time, I would say that answer is yes. I just think there's a different, for lack of a better term, there's a different spirit in those players, and a different way they handle themselves, the way they handle adversity. I think a lot of times it's very apparent. Not always, but I've known a lot of great Christian players and staff that live it, and they show it every day.
Now I want to talk about your two sons that are playing professional baseball and your parenting philosophy, because we live in a world now where parents tend to live their lives, they could, I should say, vicariously through their kids, pushing them to be the next Major League Baseball player or get that scholarship. And now you have two who are playing professional baseball. How did you go about encouraging them, challenging them, but yet still being dad in the process of raising your two sons who are now playing at an elite level?
Well, I have three sons, and the twins are the oldest. They're 27, and both of them played, they both played very well in high school, and then played at Georgia Tech. And the one twin, Colby, ended up having mitochondrial disease, and after his sophomore year, he had to quit playing because he just did not have the energy to go to school and play at the collegiate level. But the short answer, Ronnie, really is that I always left that to them. I was never going to force them to play baseball. They grew up around the game and being exposed to the game and going to a lot of major league games, and they had a natural love for it based on that exposure and seeing it. And I think you see so many kids of players and coaches and and executives, you know, their kids, they get, you know, kind of unknowingly, they get an advantage because they see the game played so well at the major league level and they're exposed to it regularly that they naturally take some of that in through osmosis and they know how to play the game. And I think that's the one thing that people say about, you know, my kids at least, is they really know how to play the game and they play the game right, play the game hard, which, you know, that's all you can ask for. And then if they have talent to go with it, then, you know, good things can happen.
Now, both of your sons now, Jordan and Kyle, are both in the Red Sox organization, and obviously you're part of the Red Sox organization. So talk about that. This must be a very exciting time to have everybody part of what's going on with the Bo Sox.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's also a little nerve-wracking, I would say, because and I know people probably won't believe this, but I really didn't have anything to do with either one of them coming here. I was in Boston for the draft, and the guys called me out of the draft room and said, "Hey, we're going to take Jordan with the 10th pick." And that, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that was going to happen, and they did. And then this year, Kyle got his free agency in June from the Milwaukee Brewers, where he was having a good year at AAA, and they called and said, "We want to sign Kyle because we need some outfield depth." And so I didn't put in the calls for them to be signed, but it's nice that they're in a good, solid organization that knows how to develop players.
Well, let's talk a little bit of inside baseball here so our listeners could kind of get some insight on what a GM does or a person in your position right before the trade deadline. How busy was it this past trade deadline? I know you're jockeying to get players, having one up on the Yankees, of course, and starting to prepare yourself for the playoff and the pennant chase here coming down to the wire.
Well, it's different from the role I'm in now, where I kind of feel like I'm eyes and ears in the National League, and I see all the National League clubs as many times as I can and report back what I'm seeing. For me, I was jumping around towards the last couple weeks of the trade deadline, seeing some American League players that we had interest in. So I was going from city to city, and you know, one day you're in Denver, the next day you're in Minnesota, the next day you're in Oakland, the next day you're in San Francisco. So you're jumping around trying to see as many guys as you can that may be available and that might fit for your club. So I did that a lot right before the deadline. As a general manager during that time, you're trying to coordinate all that. You're trying to let your people in the field know, these are the guys we might have a chance to get that will fit our club well. And so let's figure out a way for as many of our major league scouts to see them as possible so we get a good look at them. And so then the 4 or 5 days prior to the deadline, we all fly into Boston and we meet daily and update and look at our club and pick a real honest look at our club, what we need if we want to play in October.
Is the fraternity amongst GMs in Major League Baseball, is it pretty tight? What is the dynamics of the relationships between each other? Because you're trying to get one-upsmanship, trying to get the edge on each other.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty unique fraternity because I don't think anybody outside of that group knows the hours and the loss of sleep and the dedication it takes to do that job, because you're managing, not only are you managing, you know, the major league team, which is what everyone sees visibly, but you're also overseeing a player development group that might have 200 players. You're the scouting organization of 100 scouts around the world. You're overseeing all of that, and those folks are all coming back to you. So it's a big organization, and quite frankly, I used to leave my schedule open. I didn't have a daytimer with all these appointments in the daytimer weeks in advance, because I knew every day I'd go into the office and I would not stop from daylight till dark with just things that happen on a daily basis that you have to deal with, whether it's injuries or off-field situations or trying to improve your club with conversations with other teams. So there's just a lot that goes on a daily basis, and it's a very consuming job.
Now, we talk about, you hear this a lot, it's almost become cliche. We talk about that guy has some great God-given talent. If there's one player that you played with or had to see play that you said has the most God-given talent, who would that be?
Boy, that's a tough one. In that, of the guys that I had a chance to watch play on a regular basis, I would say Chipper Jones. Chipper could do just about everything on the baseball field. Guys I played with personally, it would be Tim Raines. And Tim Raines and I played together we played against each other in high school in Florida, and then we played on the same rookie ball club, and then we were instructionally together. And, you know, the common denominator with those two is they're both in the Hall of Fame. And so they both had special, special talent.
Yeah, indeed they did. And, of course, Chipper Jones has just been inducted, so great things for him, certainly acknowledging his distinguished baseball career. Well, Frank Wren has been our guest over 30 years, folks, as a front office executive in Major League Baseball, and what a career. And, of course, we wish his two sons well in their plight here to make it to the big leagues in the Red Sox organization. But, Frank, I do appreciate you talking about your career, but more importantly, who you are as a person and why faith is so important to you. And thank you for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
I appreciate it, Ron. Thank you.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You could like us on Facebook, and you could follow the show right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Frank Wren, I'm Ron Meyer, asking you to compete well for the faith in your everyday life.